Blog
Hello,
Talk
my
Radio.
Name is Ralph. We're starting a series on Freedomizer Radio today, which would be the 17th. And this is my first time ever on radio. The title of our topic is going to be a Bible study with Carl on Freedomizer Radio. And today, for the first bit of time, I'm going to try to explain. I'm going to explain to you what I am going to do and attempt not to do in the Bible study. And as I'm going to give you the ground rules that I'm going to work on for the Bible study. And I'm going to try to make it as easy as I can, but I'm going to tell you what I'm not going to do. Number one, what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to come at this with anything other than what the scripture says. I'm going to attempt to explore topics and to explain them, but not with my words of what I think they mean. All of my explanations that I give, I'm going to do my very best, whether it's answering a question that someone were to call in and ask, or if it's just giving a study without any phone calls. I am going to go to in the Bible, where it says a couple of places, and one of it's 2 Corinthians 13:1, where it basically says, let everything be confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses. I will very rarely give you an opinion. When I do give you an opinion, I will state clearly it is my opinion. I want to differentiate that between my opinion and what the Bible says about a topic. When I have a truth that the Bible states, for instance, the Holy Spirit is a teacher. That's one we're going to get to very shortly. I'm not going to give you one verse. And I'm going to do my best as I come up with these verses to also read the context. One context I can tell you, there's a word that's used in the New Testament in the context in one of the Gospels where it indicates sin. And another one, it indicates something of value. And it's not necessary we go through those right now. I'm just telling you, I'm going to do my best to give you an answer based on the context of the way the verse is used. Okay, the other thing, in this topical search that we're going to do, we also will, in doing topical searches, a lot of times we'll just pick up the Bible and read maybe four or five verses, maybe a whole chapter. Again, my goal in everything that I do, and I do a lot of Bible studies on phone conferences. Now I'm doing them phone conferences because we've been shut off from meeting. But everything I want to do is I want to lead people to the scripture. I want you to understand that the scripture cannot contradict scripture. I will do my best not to give you a one phrase or one verse theology. Scripture will interpret scripture. How many times I have been not understanding what a verse says and then reading somewhere down the line, I'm sure you've all experienced it, you'll find out that all of a sudden it'll hit you and you'll connect with something maybe a week ago, a month ago, a year ago. Conclusions will be arrived at only if I find more than one verse stating the same conclusion. When I have an opinion, and there's many topics I do that are, in my opinion, I have not yet found out something to totally define it, such as timing and the end times, etc. I'll tell you it is an opinion. Conclusions, I'm going to do the very best I can also, what it says in the Bible, line upon line, context upon context, precept upon precept. When I'm giving you my opinions on these again. I will make it clear it is my wisdom. In topical explanations, I will most certainly pursue expositional study to not ignore the context. And that is very important. I have many times cleared up my thinking by looking at something in the context.
Don't forget to give the call-in number.
Okay. Let me do this, too. And this is my first shot at this, so if I'm a little late or running wrong, let me know. The call-in number for guests to call in is 319-527-6208. And for the first person who calls in, I've not received a call yet. Well, I'm sure I'll figure it out. I'll ring and tell her mom. Okay. I want to hit probably the very next part that I want to explore in this Bible study that to me is foundational. And I'm going to go to 2 Timothy 3:15-16. In order to read Scripture and to make it more than an exercise or a religious duty or a work that we're doing, I had to convince myself of the fact of, number one, who wrote the Bible. That, why would I read it? Why would I spend my time reading the Bible over other literature? There's other literature out there that's ethical. There's other literature out there that is very good. But why do you want to have a hunger and a passion for the Scripture? And this is going to be foundational upon everything that I'm going to base our studies on. I'm going to take 2 Timothy 3:15-16. It says, from a child you have known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. So right there in that one verse, we have that the Scripture is the thing that makes you wise through salvation. How? By faith in Jesus Christ. And that goes right along with Romans 10:17. We always talk at faith. We're saved by faith. We're saved by faith, not of works of our own, so no one can boast. Actually, the verse in Ephesians 2:8 is we're saved by grace through faith. In Acts 26:18, we're sanctified by faith in Jesus Christ. So this verse, which is saying through we're saved through faith, which is in Christ, is very consistent then with what Romans 10:17 says, and that is we get faith by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I am now establishing in my mind the necessity, if I'm really pursuing this from sincerity and hunger, and not a religious exercise as I did for many, many years. The key here is faith. That is the key to salvation. And that faith comes through the Scripture. Okay, the next verse is going to be very, very important to build on from verse 15. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. That is telling me that faith comes through the Scripture. Faith comes through the Word of God. And then the moment you are truly born again, everything that will happen in my life spiritually will also come by building, and building on what? Building on the foundation of Jesus and Him crucified, which Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:11-12. Build on no other foundation, establish no other foundation than Jesus Christ. And who is Jesus? John 1:1. Jesus, in the beginning, was the Word, is the Word. The Word is God. And in verse 14 of John 1, the Word became flesh, indicating the Word, which is God. In verse 1, is definitely Jesus. There is no separating Jesus from his Word. I'm not indicating here that there's anything magical or that I accomplished something by reading the Word. What happens is when you read the words that the Holy Spirit inspired, the Holy Spirit himself miraculously is the one that gives you the conversion experience. Understand that. I give you nothing. I can't help myself. I can do nothing on my own. It is the Holy Spirit who helps me. So one other very important point here. I don't want you to feel at any time that I am the one that can help you with anything that you call in and ask or any topic we discuss. The only value that I or anybody else has that I can see biblically is that I can lead you to the verses where the Holy Spirit, if I can do that, if I can just give you the verses, you write them down. You do like Paul said in Acts 17:11. You, like the Bereans, note what he said. And then you go home and study these yourself to see if he was right. Can you imagine Paul saying that? And Paul complimented them on that. That's what I want to be. For the people who are old like me, I am a Rand McNally roadmap. Or for the younger people, I'm a Google map or whatever map you have on your apps on your phone. I want you to think of me as nothing more than being a roadmap, but I am going to point you, if the Lord is willing and I have that ability on a particular topic or question, I want to point you to the one who can help you and do that by giving you the verses. Again, the words of the Holy Spirit. He inspired every word. In fact, let me go to 2 Peter and read that. This is foundational. You must believe this before it becomes anything more than just an exercise, a religious exercise, or something you must do, or a discipline, or commitment. I want to get above all that. I've had to do that in my own life before I really got down to where I wanted to read this. Giving you another two verses out of 2 Peter. Knowing this first, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So that comes right back to what we have in 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16. Every word is inspired by the Holy Spirit. As we go on, and if you listen to me in the future, you are going to look at me as only a roadmap pointing you to the Scripture that the Holy Spirit wrote, because he is the teacher. And we're going to cover that very shortly. That is absolutely key in my mind. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. I can point you to a chemistry teacher, a physics teacher, a history teacher, a math teacher. I may not be the one who knows anything to help you with it. I can't teach you arithmetic, but I can point you to someone. And I'm getting a little silly with the explanation maybe, but that's the way I want you to look at everything we do here. And I will promise you, if you ask a question or there's a topic that I don't have an answer for scripturally, I'm going to just say that. I don't know. I am not going to come up with something just to come up with it or an opinion. I may give an opinion, but you're going to be very clear it's an opinion. So we have that every word in this scripture, and when he talks about the holy scriptures or prophecy, it's talking about the Old Testament and the New Testament. Because when these words were written in the New Testament, it was shortly after Jesus, when Jesus was on earth, the New Testament, and then after his death, the epistles. So they were referring to the Old Testament also. Everything in here is written by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. All right. I also have a key that one of the things I spend time on, and I just started this recently, because when I went to Dornan, I found out where I live, I can't get the internet provider I had. I couldn't upload anything, but I'm now putting, and I've got six videos on YouTube loaded, and the title of my YouTube lectures, the title for all of them is "The Bible Interprets the Bible." Scripture will interpret itself. I am not saying that you are not to do any other reading. I'm not saying that I don't at times look at commentaries for clarification on some things, but I am saying nobody has a better commentary than the Holy Spirit who wrote the scripture. I have found that out after many years of chasing many people who claim to have the answers. A funny thing, I've never once seen someone say, "I don't know what this verse means." And I'm not trying to, I'm not criticizing anybody. I don't write anything. I have no literature. I'm not a minister. I'm just saying I want to lead you to the direction that I have found after many, many years is the best direction you can go if you really want truth. And that brings up another very good point. I can give you and be accurate intellectual knowledge on verses and be accurate, but I'm still going to do like Paul encouraged the Bereans. You write those verses down. You go back and read them, because the Holy Spirit is the only teacher of spiritual wisdom and knowledge. I will point you in the direction of the intellectual, which is all I can do. But don't ever take me or anything I say as final. You go and read those verses, because the Holy Spirit, he is the teacher. And we're going to go through a few verses right now to show that he is the one that will expand this to your spiritual need. He will expand it to what you need at the moment. I don't know what someone needs, but he knows. He knows every problem you have. He knows your mind better than you'll ever know it. Don't miss out by taking an intellectual, even if I give you a good intellectual explanation and point you to the right verses. You still allow the Holy Spirit, through the verses we give on a topic, you allow him to be the teacher. And I think right now is a good time to go through those verses. So I'm going to go to John 14. And everything I do, I want to substantiate with Scripture. But again, I'm the roadmap. You don't go on vacation to Rand McNally. You go on vacation to where Rand McNally points you towards. Again, it's an analogy, but hopefully it makes sense. All right, in John 14, Jesus was, and this is all in red, he's talking to the disciples, and he's trying to calm them down, because he's attempting to get them to realize truthfully why he came. And he's telling them in John 14 that he is going to be what they're to do, how they're to pray, how they're to conduct themselves, because he is going to be leaving them. And in 14, he makes a good comment. John 14, actually, excuse me, it's verse 18. He says, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." He was speaking there of the Holy Spirit. In 16, verse 16, he says, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, he dwells with you and he will be in you. Very key, very key. At this point, Christ hadn't died on the cross yet. Our sins had not been paid for, even though these people were believers. Until Jesus died on the cross, paid for our sin, and we were now in the mind of God, Colossians 3:3, our life is hidden. To God, our life is hidden in Christ. Once he died and paid for our sin, this whole concept of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, became more than one that was with us, as he said. He said, he is with you, but he will be in you. Referring to the moment he paid for sin, the Holy Spirit can now make us a temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 1 Corinthians 6:19. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. Until he died and paid the price for sin, even those people who were believers could not be a temple of the Holy Spirit. He could not reside in them. He could not make them his temple because he could not share a temple with Satan. Once we were cleansed of sin, which Christ paid for when he died on the cross, and that goes back to Ephesians 2:1-7. By one man sin entered the world, and by one man sin was paid for. When that was paid for, the Holy Spirit could now fulfill what Jesus said here. He is now with you, but he will be in you. That is so key to our Bible study. It brings it to a whole nother, not even a level. I can't even think of a word to properly describe the way I think it should be. But let's continue and see what the Bible says. So that's why we're here. We're going to go to John 14:26. John 14:26 says, which is the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, will send. Because remember, he hadn't died on the cross yet. He shall teach you all things. There we're getting to the spiritual level. That's where I want you, if you please, if these topics interest you, any we talk about for the next year that I'm hoping to be on, at least in the next 52 weeks, I want you to write the verses down. Even if it's making sense, but you go to it. You read what the Holy Spirit says to you, because I can't do any more than give you an intellectual understanding or give you other verses that say the same thing. For instance, verse 26, Zechariah 4:6 says the same thing. 2 Timothy, I love 2 Timothy 2:7. In fact, that should be one of our signature verses. 2 Timothy 2:7, consider everything I say. Consider it. But the Holy Spirit gives you wisdom in all things. And that's what I really want to develop as we go along. I want people someday to say, you know something, I studied further and further, and the Holy Spirit led me here, led me there, and brought these scriptures open to me like I'd never seen before. That's all I can help you with. Again, if I can't do it for me, I can't do it for anyone else. So don't stop with the intellectual knowledge, please. And he says here, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So Jesus is telling them, you're not going to have the spiritual understanding you're craving. I gave you the intellectual, but he's going to be at a point where he will make it so much, it'll be infinitely more meaningful, because it will address your particular walk, your particular weakness, maybe your particular sin, maybe your particular thing you don't want to cut out of your life, you know you need to. He will direct you to that. I can't do that. I don't even know what my root cause of problems are in many cases. I'm sure I have one person that's listening to this. fact, I'll say the name. Name is Raven, who will be my person who will sit in for me if something happens where I can't do it. And she'd probably recognize that my root cause of problems is I am not very good with any of this technology. So if you call in and I ignore you for a while, just bear with me. I'll learn it eventually. Okay, let's go to John 15:26. John 15:26. When the Comforter comes, when he comes, again, referring to the fact that until he paid for our sin, the Comforter could not dwell in us, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth. There is only one Spirit of truth. There is only one truth spiritually. There's many truth statements. There is only one spiritual truth. And John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. It was a singular, the truth. He is the spiritual truth. But the Holy Spirit that is going to be sent from the Father, he is also called the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of Christ. Philippians 2:5, one verse that says, we have the mind of Christ. You do because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. That's why I'm going to emphasize until probably people tired of hearing it. Don't look to any person as your bottom line. Don't look to any person as your final filter, your final defense. Anyone, no matter who there is that has such tremendous recall, they can only direct you to the verses that the Holy Spirit will give you meaning that you need to know. And what you may need to know may be something that won't affect me very much. In that particular verse, I may need something totally different. Same topic, obviously. But the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. He is the Spirit of truth. He proceeds from the Father. He is God. He will testify of me. Why are you even listening if anybody is there? Why do you read the scripture? Because the Holy Spirit's word testify of Jesus, and you know that, or you wouldn't read. All right, we're going to go to John 16:13. Saying the same things, but I want to keep giving you verse after verse, so it's not my opinion. It says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. All truth, not right away. He will guide you into all truth that he knows that you need for right now. He will, like with spiritual gifts, he will give the truth to you as he determines, as he feels you need it, as he wants you to use it. Not as I think or anybody else. Are other people gifted by the Holy Spirit to help you? Yes, they are. But remember, and that's even spiritual gifts, where you have the gift of word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy, teaching. They all basically tie in together. But let's say prophecy, which doesn't mean I can forecast the future. Specifically, the gift of prophecy is being able to interpret the scripture and through the Holy Spirit's power, be able to bring some spiritual meaning to the people. But if he directs you to an individual, the Holy Spirit does, like you pray in James 1:5. He who lacks wisdom, let him ask, and it will be given to him. The only disclaimer is if you don't believe. So if you ask for guidance and the Holy Spirit puts a person in front of you or something happens and that incident or person, usually person or persons, maybe a sermon you hear. Am I discounting people on that? No. But again, the only thing that's going to help you is if you ask the Holy Spirit and he guides you to a person that he has gifted to give you that knowledge. You don't assume that I have all the answers on anything or anybody does. So if someone helps you, I'm not saying that people can't teach you or guide you. But that very person who has that gift of prophecy, teaching, word of wisdom, word of knowledge when it's needed, spiritual gift. It is a spiritual gift given by the Holy Spirit. So I'm not saying people are incapable. I'm just saying that I want everything to start with you by seeking the Holy Spirit's direction in your life, as well as understanding the scripture and applying every scripture to your life. Only He can do that. He will use people, but He will get the people. It's not something that I get from studying. And I'm not trying to demean studying. I'm saying, folks, that we have become so analytic and so dependent on titles and accomplishments, me and my own life even. I want to get away from that. I want to get back to the basics. And you can't get much more basic than an example my wife always gives me, the thief on the cross. And yet in a short period of time, he went in one gospel from reviling Christ. And in the gospel of Mark, I believe it's Mark, it said that both of the thieves reviled Christ. And Luke, he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. It is the spiritual wisdom we're after. That is my whole theme of doing what I'm doing. Bible interprets itself. The best commentary is the Bible. All right, we're going to go to Luke 24, 31 and 32. In this one, I want you to see an example of what I'm encouraging you to allow to happen to you. These people were walking along the road, and Jesus came up, and he disguised himself. And this is after he rose from the dead. He came up, and they even asked him to stay, and they asked him to abide with them and for the evening. And the day, it says, it was well spent. And he went in, and he tarried with them. And so then they came, and they were talking to him, and he disguised himself. He disguised himself from him. And then he talked to him. He talked to him about the scripture. Remember the ones who said, are you the only one that doesn't know what happened in town? And he gave them explanations. And listen to the words that they said. As they sat at food with them, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. This is verse 32 is key. They said one to another, Lord, did not our heart burn within us Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us, by the way, and while he opened up the scriptures to us? That I want to be very, very, very key. He will open up the scriptures to us. This is consistent with everything we're reading. I'm going to go to Philippians now and read 3:15. Let me check with my engineer here and make sure I'm not messing anything up. Is anything wrong?
No, I'm just checking to see a phone call.
Okay.
I think you should give the call-in number one more time.
Okay, the call-in number, unless you're calling in to tell me that I'm confused and nervous, is 319-527-6208. All right, we're going to go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God will reveal even this to you. That verse is telling us that don't strive or make up something to fit in with the crowd, as I've done stupidly, if I can use that word. Don't force. You don't understand what a context is or what something means. very simply say it to yourself. God will be the one that will give you the answer. We may be seeking something, a Bible verse or a chapter, and we don't really understand the significance of it. What does it mean to me? I don't even understand it. But we don't know what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us to get us to the point where he can really give us the meaning we're seeking so that we can apply it to our life the way he wants to. Be patient. Be patient. Don't force things. Nobody has all the answers except the Holy Spirit. And that's where I want to spend the hour and a half for the next 52 weeks is pointing you to him in all situations. And all our studies, whether we talk about spiritual gifts, what is sin? What is the difference between sin and sins? All these topics, I'm going to do nothing more for you than point you to the scripture, which will start your spiritual understanding. Because I could, and this is very unlikely, but it could theoretically happen. I could get even a four-year college degree on biblical study. I mean, it's just chock full of objective information. You can make up tests by the millions. All kinds of trivia questions you see asked on TV all the time and not have the saving knowledge of Jesus. That is possible, very unlikely that I'd get a degree in Bible studies, but it could happen. What I'm trying to differentiate is between the intellectual knowledge and the spiritual. And I want to take all the intellectual and direct it to the Holy Spirit in each of these verses that we talk about so he can make it live to you. You're going to see things in here I don't see. Trust me. I guarantee it's going to happen. Again, the individual raven who is going to be my stand-in if something where I can't do the study, let's say I got laryngitis or whatever, that we go back and forth numerous times where she'll bring up something that I've never seen, even though I could almost quote the verse verbatim. And that is proof that the Holy Spirit is alive and working. And that's what I want to stress as we keep going. I'm going to give you another one now, Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That goes to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where it differentiates between human wisdom and spiritual wisdom. And the one without the Spirit, the one who is not born again, the one who is unsaved. And that's not my job to determine who they are, but the one who is cannot understand the things of the Spirit. Paul even says they're foolishness. In 1 Corinthians 1:17, the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing. But everything in all of the epistles, Paul is constantly exhorting us, go to the Holy Spirit, go to him. He will give you the spiritual wisdom. He'll give you the understanding. And the amazing thing, and it even says in Romans, that every time the Holy Spirit intercedes to you, which is for almost continuously, the Spirit, if you are seeking spiritual wisdom, and I think it's in Romans 8:26, yes, I think so, where he says that, Paul says that the Holy Spirit is interceding for us. And in 27, it talks about he's interceding for us with the will of God for our life. And I believe it's 26 and 7. But the Spirit is interceding to the Father, not just on his But he wants the wisdom the Father wants for us in every situation. That is beyond human explanation. Even though I understand the intellectual significance, that is so far that it's just a spoonful of water from the Atlantic Ocean as far as understanding. But I believe it. All right. Important points that I want to bring up, or I found out, the scripture, the New Testament, absolutely has application to the saved individual as well as to the unsaved. And I think we'll go back to 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16 again. It talks about in 15, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, who are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. 16 applies to the saved individual, the born-again person. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. That follows being born again in verse 15. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. You're saved by grace through faith, not of works of your own, so no one can boast. James 1:21. There's another good one. Let me get to James 1:21. That says it very, very clearly. And again, it's not basing it on an intellectual knowledge. But James 1:21 says that the word by the word of God, bear with me here. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. How is that? Is that magic? No, but it is miraculous, because it's the Holy Spirit that works miraculously in you. I want to go to Ephesians 3:20 and give some biblical explanation of this. And again, these are foundational principles I've got to go over all the time. When I feel that I'm doing something and I'm just going through an exercise and I get discouraged because nothing's happening, I've got to go back and just remind myself. It says, Ephesians 3:20. To him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. This is the power for salvation. It's also the power for sanctification. Sanctification doesn't mean we become to the point where we no longer sin. That's unbiblical. Sanctification, the word by definition, is being separated from one entity to another. We are being separated from our worldly desires, our worldly goals, the worldly gods that we hold on to. And we are more and more, as the Holy Spirit transforms us by renewing our mind. That's what's happening. Romans 12:2. We're being transformed by the renewing of our mind by the Holy Spirit. How does he do it? We don't know. All we know, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. The Holy Spirit works this power in us, which we can't even understand or figure out or even imagine or think. That is what's happening. That's the miracle. That's what the Word of God will do. Now, what do you have to do? Very good question. There is one thing we have to do. I'll read it in two verses. What is the exceeding greatness of his power? This is God's power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Ephesians 1:19. His mighty power is in Ephesians 3:20. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? Many verses about this, but let me go to one more. Let me go to 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Again, what do we have to do? Well, you just said we're saved by grace through faith, not of works of our own, so no one can boast. Not a work. It's believe. Well, I don't understand it. He doesn't ask us to understand it. The thief on the cross was cursing at Christ in the Gospel of Mark. Hanging on the cross, he believed. He didn't have time to do any studying or any understanding or any analytics. He believed. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Get the flow of this. For this cause, also, we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, the word of God, scripture, all scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit, written by holy men of God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. When you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you received it not as the word of men. That's the way we're going to conduct everything in the study. We're going to move you to understand by the Holy Spirit, not by what people think. You receive not as the word of men, but it is in truth. And here it's the Holy Spirit saying, it is in truth. It's not man's words, even though men wrote it. It was by the Holy Spirit. Very key point. As it is in truth, the word of God, which works in those effectually in those who believe. The word of God works effectually in those who believe. That's all we have to do, believe. Well, I can't figure it out. Oh, this doesn't make sense. Folks, we're not told to do that. Hebrews 1:11 is the best definition of faith you can get. In fact, let me go to that. I have to read this frequently myself. Yeah, Hebrews 1:11. Just think of Hebrews 1:11. You want to talk about understanding. This is the biggest, what do they call it, an oxymoron? Hey, not Hebrews 1:11, Hebrews 11:1. I'm mentally dyslexic. This is a total contradiction in the natural. It's the substance of things hoped for. That's bad enough. Okay. Go ahead and get on. Let's take this. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That doesn't make sense. We're not figuring this out. We're not understanding it. If we did, there'd be no room for faith. Well, my engineer tells me I have a call, so let me see if I can do this without messing it up. Go ahead. Hello? Hold, bear with me here a minute. I'm not able. If you hear me speak, unfortunately, I'm not something I'm not doing right here.